Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdishan, Ryan Huang. It's time now for Mind Your Business.
Now, it's no secret that digitalization has brought about tremendous changes in how we live, work and play. And with all of this, sectors associated with digitalization have indeed been thriving in the last few years.
Yeah, first thing that comes to mind is the semiconductor company Advanced Micro Devices. Or you probably know them as AMD. They recently announced their financial results for last year, and they saw an outstanding year for the company with record annual revenue and profitability.
So what are the factors that have contributed to its outstanding performance, and what's next for the year? We're joined now by Peter Chambers, Managing Director Sales at AMD Asia Pacific and Japan. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. I hope you're doing well as well. Peter, we've heard so much about Advanced Micro Devices, AMD, over the years. You're a multinational semiconductor company based in California. You develop computer processors, related tech for business and consumer markets as well. But you've been around since 1969, and I don't think we talk enough about how the company was founded and why it was founded in the first place. Tell us more about that story.
Well, I mean, the vision was to bring, you know, high-tech computing and performance, you know, to a broader audience and really enable choice in people's decision on where they select their silicon from. And that really hasn't changed over the years. And we continue to offer fantastic choice and lead the market with innovation, which is what our customers are looking for.
So, Peter, you guys recently announced your financial results, an outstanding year with record annual revenue and profitability. So, bonus must have been awesome.
It was a good year.
It was a good year. And chance you could share with us some of the highlights of these results.
I think the first thing to comment on is it doesn't happen overnight. And in our business, in many instances, the products actually are started and envisaged some 4 or 5 years before actually come to market. So you've got to make some very large bets well out from when you want to launch a product. So I think, you know, the success of the last few years, frankly, has been driven by decisions that were made a long time ago and the vision of the company. And so the next part of the process is that execution and being able to consistently execute on that plan. It's one thing to have a plan, but you've got to bring it to market. And I think, you know, what AMD and our engineers have done, and I'm a sales guy, we're only less than 10% of the overall population of the company. Our engineering team is what makes it happen, and they've done a fantastic job of, you know, executing consistently over the last, you know, 4 to 5 years.
We did hear a lot about the semiconductor shortage, though, in the last few years, and clearly not all companies have been as badly affected. Tell us more about the challenges you faced during the pandemic and how you mitigated these challenges. What steps you took to overcome them?
Yeah, the pandemic did drive, you know, unprecedented growth, not just you know, in the general computing, but across the entire, I would call, the chip industry. From our standpoint, we, you know, spotted some things early on and made a lot of sizable investments to shore up our supply chain. So, again, you know, we've had a fairly consistent, you know, supply chain through the pandemic. We worked very closely with our partners like TSMC to create that consistency. But yeah, I mean, unprecedented demand has been key buzzwords over the last few years, no doubt.
Peter, you talked a little bit about some of the long-term plans that have contributed to the growth, and obviously that's a huge factor. But since you're a sales guy, I want to change the question a bit. If you were asked what sets AMD apart in the semiconductor scene, what would your answer be?
I think our focus on innovation, certainly in the last, as I said, the last 4 to 5 years, I think what has always set the company apart, and when AMD has been most successful, and as you mentioned, we've been around since 1969, the periods of time when the company has been most successful is when we're trying to lead the market, when we're innovating at the cutting edge. And that's, you know, what we returned to, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And those results, and obviously not just last year's results, but the results of the last number of years, have shown that pushing for that, you know, being absolutely cutting edge, bringing innovation, and, you know, we were the first, you know, we brought, you know, chiplets and energy efficiency. There's a whole lot of other features we've built into the product that has set us apart. And that real strive for innovation is what's, you know, driving our growth and higher market acceptance.
Perhaps you could give us one or two specific examples to illustrate this, you know, innovation that AMD has executed that other companies haven't been able to do in order to capitalize on some of the digitalization trends that we're observing today.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, a great example, obviously, in the server and the data center, obviously, as people, you know, move more to remote working, you know, the demands on most data centers has gone up exponentially and throughput. And one of the areas that AMD has been able to innovate in is our server parts. And so what that looks like is we can provide, as an example, not to get too technical, but we can provide a lot higher core density. What that means is we can maybe provide, you know, 64 cores, 128 cores in a single rack unit. What does that mean for the average customer? That means great energy efficiency, more core density, more performance from a single box, which means in an environment, you know, like Singapore, where space is of a premium, electricity is of a premium, we can, you know, give more performance in a smaller space, which means less, you know, less cooling and overall, you know, again, great customer experience, but all done at a very efficient standpoint. The second place that we've innovated in is around security, and there's been a lot of work done there. You know, if we look at our latest 6000 series notebook products, I think it's safe to say that every company, every individual is looking for something with a higher level of security. This is certainly something that is on the top of most people's minds. And with our latest products, we've partnered with Microsoft to be the first company to launch a Pluton-based, hardware-based security process embedded in the chip that works very closely with the Microsoft operating system, offering customers a greater level of security. So that's another area that we've been innovating in as well.
Sounds amazing. You know, I'm a geek myself. I love when it comes to these innovations, especially when you've got events like CES. And you guys recently made some announcements at CES 2022. Could you share some of that with us?
Yeah, for sure. And again, this comes back to that ongoing, persistent execution of bringing new products to market. And so, you know, CES, we spent a lot of time talking about our new mobile products, as I just mentioned, coming with the Pluton security feature that's brand new to the market and exclusive to us for the moment. Paired in with that, though, we also, for the first time on our mobile APUs, have introduced the same level of graphics infrastructure, the same technology that you find on our high-end desktop cards is now in our mobile APUs as well, which brings fantastic power efficiency and, again, what customers are looking for when they're on the go. They're on their laptop, they're looking for a device that's going to, you know, spend the whole day with them without being charged. And, you know, our new technology based off a 6-nanometer process design really gives fantastic battery life on the go.
You know, earlier you talked about how it's so important to anticipate what might be coming up, what those business needs are, what customers' needs are, in order to innovate early and shore up all your defenses, so to speak, in order to capitalize on growth and opportunities. As you look forward, what are the sorts of trends that you believe companies in your field ought to be looking towards, and what are the needs that you ought to be looking to provide in the future? In the next year or so?
Yeah, I suppose that's a twofold question for a technology company like ourselves. So First part is people. We're an engineering company at the core. And again, as I mentioned, if we don't have a great team of engineers, we can't bring the next generation of product to market. So in Singapore, you know, we've got over 600 engineers here. We call on a number of the universities here and bring in trainees and interns out of the education system here. So we very much value our partnership with local educators, because that's the first key to making a great product. We need to have fantastic engineers. And then the second part of that is, how do we meet the needs of the businesses that we service? Bringing innovation, bringing scalability, bringing total cost of ownership benefits that come with that, and how we deliver that seamlessly to our customers is also very, very key. And that's another area that we focused on.
Would you say that in the current landscape, I mean, Marty talked about this a little bit early on, supply chain issues, you've got COVID, you've got hybrid working. How important, or how much importance do you place on collaboration and partnerships now in light of the current climate?
Well, collaboration and partnerships is extremely, extremely important to our business. And so if you think about manufacturing, our partner with TSMC, they're not just a manufacturing partner, they're a design partner. They help us with our next generation of packaging, where we're stacking chips on top of each other to give more density. The TSMC partnership is very, very important. And then, of course, we move to our OEM partnerships. You know, the HPI, the HPEs, the Dell, the Lenovo, Acer, Asus, all those OEMs. As a chip manufacturer, I can't bring a product to market without the partnership of those OEMs. And so we work very closely with them to design products, to design specific products that meet customer needs and are customized to the relevant demands of our, especially our commercial customers.
Some analysts are saying that the global chip shortage could turn into an oversupply crisis. I mean, let's face it, right? We've seen some governments in several major economies implement huge spending programs to try to boost their local chip production. What do you think of this? What do you make of it? And how do you plan to overcome this if it happens?
Well, it's hard to have a crystal ball. It's hard to have a crystal ball to predict the future. I would say, you know, at the moment, there continues to be very, very strong demand. We think is, you know, digitization and as companies continue to invest in upgrading systems to meet the needs of the future workforce, we think that demand will continue. And so we're very much focused, again, on delivering that next generation of technology to meet their needs.
And finally, Peter, it is International Women's Day. Here we go. Let's put you on the spot. What are your thoughts? Women in tech, women in engineering, and what's that like at AMD?
That's a fantastic question. I think, you know, we continue to see more women coming into the field, and I would encourage any budding mathematician or engineer that is thinking about their career as they go into university. We would love to see more women in tech. I've got some fantastic women on my team as salespeople as well, from the sales side of things, and they bring, you know, a great amount of insight into the organization. So we're always keen to see a higher proportion of women in technology.
Let's face it. I mean, of course, there are some barriers, right? There's a lot of stereotyping going on in the tech industry in general. Women might be put off. Men aren't sure how to handle it at times as well. How do you manage such dynamics within AMD to make sure that it's an encouraging environment for all, regardless of gender?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, first of all, I would say we're very, very privileged to have a female CEO in Dr. Lisa Su, who is absolutely a visionary and someone that is consistently honoured in the industry. And so I think, you know, the fact that we have a female leader that flows right the way through the organisation. And again, we look to give everyone equal opportunity. And as I mentioned, you know, from a recruitment standpoint and bringing new people in, we'd be very keen to see more ladies coming into the industry.
Certainly hope that changes, maybe 50-50 one day. Peter Chambers, Managing Director of Sales, AMD Asia Pacific and Japan on the line with us. Peter, appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Great to talk.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.